You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show as we get ready to head into the weekend. It is the final weekend before National Signing Day. I'll hit on Tennessee's football recruiting coming up in just a few minutes. Tennessee's basketball team heads out on the road. The Vols will play in College Station against Texas A&M on Saturday. Tennessee is going for win number 16 in a row. That would be a school record. The number one Tennessee Vols will be on the road on Saturday. Grant Ramey of GoVols247.com will stop by coming up in segment number two to talk about the latest with Tennessee. And I'll get you an update on Jordan Bowden, who missed Tennessee's game against South Carolina on Tuesday. It did not appear to be a serious situation at the time, and that still holds true. But Rick Barnes answered the question about Jordan Bowden's status on Thursday. I'll let you hear what Rick Barnes had to say coming up toward the end of today's show. That's all right here on Locked On Vols. It's your team every day covering what's going on with the Vols. Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, UT athletics news. All right here on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps, anywhere you're looking for podcasts, you should be able to find Locked On Vols. So it is a big weekend for Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff. Not necessarily big in terms of numbers, as I've talked about for the last probably few weeks. Tennessee does not have a lot of room to close out this 2019 class. I think there is a big question of how Tennessee's staff will be able to close things out. As we head into this final weekend, we know that offensive lineman Darnell Wright is coming to town, and at this point, it would be stunning if he does not choose Tennessee. Wright did take an official visit to West Virginia a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that he lives in Huntington, West Virginia, I think raised some eyebrows as to, okay, can the home state school create some kind of momentum and make a push late to try to steal him away from Tennessee? And I think the new head coach, Neil Brown, did a good job of impressing Darnell Wright, but not enough to pull him away from Tennessee. So this weekend should give Tennessee a chance to wrap things up and have Darnell Wright sign with Tennessee on Wednesday. And if that does happen, as expected, Tennessee, I think, will feel really good about its offensive line class, with Wanya Morse being the headliner in the early signing period, and then Darnell Wright being the big get on signing day for the spring signing period. I think Tennessee would love the offensive line class, which has five total players and 2 5-star prospects in Morris and Wright. So he's the big fish. I think Wright has been the biggest priority for Tennessee for several weeks now, maybe for several months, and that should come to a close next week. The other top two priorities, I would say, for Tennessee are far more questionable. Tennessee over the last couple weeks has appeared to be in good position, at least, for linebacker Henry To'oto'o from California and Dyersburg, Tennessee linebacker Chris Russell. But over the last week, Alabama has appeared to regain momentum with To'oto'o, and Tennessee has pushed to try to get in there between Alabama and maybe even Washington. So right now, that looks like an uphill battle heading into the final few days for Tennessee. Then with Christopher Russell, he's an in-state player who has expressed sincere interest in Tennessee, but VolQuest.com had the report on Thursday that it's unknown if he's even going to take his official visit to Tennessee this weekend. Well, if he doesn't visit Tennessee, he's not signing with Tennessee next week. I think that's pretty obvious. If he takes an unofficial visit to Texas A&M instead, then it's over. It's A&M or Arkansas, and you can bet on Texas A&M there. If Tennessee were to miss on both of those linebackers, it would be a tremendous disappointment for Tennessee in this class. There's no other way around it. Those guys have been big priorities over the last few weeks at a position of sincere need. Tennessee has recruited other players, and I'll get to a couple of names coming up in just a moment, but Tennessee needs help at linebacker. It was ecstatic about getting Quavarius Crouch back in December, and that remains true. He was a big get for Tennessee to close out the early signing period, but Tennessee needs more than Quavarius Crouch, and he's one player who's obviously unproven at the college level. Tennessee was hoping to add a couple of linebackers, and still could. That still could happen, but that's something to monitor this weekend. Does Christopher Russell take a visit to Knoxville? Where does wide receiver George Pickens go? I talked about him on Thursday's show a little bit. He is a very highly touted wide receiver from Hoover, Alabama, who has been committed to Auburn. Miami and Georgia and Florida have also been in the mix. Does he take a visit to Tennessee this weekend? How real is his interest in Tennessee? That is worth monitoring. And then will he be able to qualify this upcoming fall? That is another question as well. Jakeem Green is a defensive lineman who visited Tennessee this past weekend. He goes to Highland Community College and has been committed to South Carolina. What's the status with him? Right now, he's committed to the Gamecocks. So that's a player worth paying attention to because of his visit this past weekend. But I don't know how much talk there is right now. And then there has been some discussion on a player named Kenny Solomon, a cornerback from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, who visited Tennessee a few weeks ago. It was an unofficial visit. And with him visiting unofficially and not having had an in-home visit, he could sign with Tennessee and still be a blue shirt candidate, meaning his scholarship could count toward the 2020 class. Now, I'm not a huge fan personally of blue shirting. I think that can often kind of get in the way of your recruiting in the future. I would rather save a spot than take maybe a guy that's lower on your board and trying to count that number forward. But he is a guy with legitimate speed, and Tennessee has looked at adding more speed to the secondary. Solomon has offers from Louisville, Rutgers, Colorado's been in the picture, and Tennessee has offered him a scholarship. Let's see what Solomon does, and if Tennessee has extra room, Tennessee could put a stronger press on to try to get Solomon to sign on Wednesday and go ahead and count him in the 2019 class. That is something to consider as well. Also remember Aubrey Solomon, the transfer from Michigan, could be counted in this class as well if Tennessee has extra room. It's a little bit complicated, I know that, and as I've said, the numbers, trying to work those out, can often be confusing. That's the case for me at least. So we're monitoring that over the next few days. Darnell Wright is a guy that appears to be a lock to sign with Tennessee. Everything else right now is up in the air. This is a very important, though, final stretch as Tennessee's trying to close out the class. There won't be a lot of news necessarily on Wednesday, but what happens with these players who I just talked about will be very important because these players are very important to Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff. Coming up in just a moment here on Locked On Vols, Grant Ramey will stop by and talk some Tennessee hoops as the Vols get ready for a road trip to Texas A&M. We'll discuss that, and I'll get to the latest on Jordan Bowden. Will he be able to play against Texas A&M on Saturday? That's all right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, and it's presented today by LearningRx Knoxville, which is a company located on North Shore Drive that is dedicated to helping people of all ages. If you have a child that has struggled with learning, with developing cognitive skills, LearningRx's brain training can help identify weak skills and strengthening them. They have one-on-one training available. They will target those weaknesses for greater effectiveness. LearningRx can help with reading, with auditory processing. If you think about it, a car will not perform well when its tires are flat. In the same way, students cannot process facts, knowledge, and information when their underlying skills are weak. LearningRx can help with that. If you have a child in need, LearningRx is a great option for you. And remember, LearningRx can help people of all ages. I've been to LearningRx. I've seen the work that they do, and it is impressive. I think you'll be impressed if you check it out as well. You can learn more online by going to learningrx.com/Knoxville. They're also on Facebook. You can find more information there or call and schedule a cognitive assessment. LearningRx's phone number is 865-246-6326. That's 865-246-6326. LearningRx calls it brain training. Clients and families call it life-changing at LearningRx Knoxville. So I want to welcome to the show now Grant Ramey from GoVols247.com. Follow him on Twitter at Grant Ramey. Grant, thank you for the time. As always, Tennessee has a 15-game winning streak heading into this week's game against Texas A&M. That win at South Carolina, which you saw in Columbia, what impressed you most about what Tennessee was able to do, especially in that final 10 minutes as the Vols were able to pull away and win by 22 points?
What was impressive was just kind of the consistency from the first half to the second half. They played pretty well on both ends of the floor. And frankly, it's been a while since that happened. It felt like this team's been number one now for 2 weeks, but it felt like they got to number one, and they at that moment they weren't playing their best basketball. They had to survive against Alabama. They had to, you know, escape at Vanderbilt. You know, they struggled a little bit early against West Virginia before beating them by 20, whatever that score was. But it just felt like they weren't really playing their best basketball. And then they go to South Carolina, which I kind of had penciled in as one of the tougher games coming up on the schedule. Not because of this South Carolina team. It's not a very good basketball team. But it felt like they were playing, finding their footing in the way Frank Martin wants to do things. They're a tough team, hard-nosed, just hard to play against. And Tennessee went down there and just handled business. And they did so without Jordan Bowden, who didn't play because of the knee issue that surfaced during shoot-around. And they get, you know, 24 from Admiral, kind of looks like his old self again after that slump. Grant does what Grant does. Jordan Bone plays one of the better games of the season and continues to have the really impressive season that he's having. And Lamonte Turner kind of just does what he does and drops 13, even while he's playing with foul trouble. So it was a good effort by everybody, and they took care of business down there.
The Admiral performance, how important do you think that was for him, or was it? Because I was confident that he would eventually kind of break out of it, and we'll still see how he shoots from the outside. But what did you think, seeing that from Admiral, was it important for him to have a big game, considering he had admittedly been hard on himself?
Yeah, I think it's very important. Admiral's an emotional player, and when he's playing well, that emotion helps fuel him. And when he's playing poorly, I think that emotion works against him. And he's a player that's going to wear that emotion on his sleeve. He's not trying to hide it. And it got to the point, the struggle. I think he had 14 and 10 or something against West Virginia on Saturday, but he needed 16 shots to get those 14 points. So that's not a very efficient day. It still felt like he was rushing things, trying to press and make stuff happen offensively. And the message from Rick Barnes is he doesn't have to score points to be an effective basketball player. He can be one of their best rebounders. He usually is. He can be one of their better defenders. He can change the game in a lot of the different ways. But it felt like he was forcing three-point shots and mid-range shots, thinking he had to hit jumpers to help his team. And he actually stood up after they watched the film against West Virginia, apologized to his teammates, said he was putting undue pressure on himself, said he wasn't acting like himself. And he missed some shots early at South Carolina, but the way he played the second half, the way he was trying to score from the inside and working his way out, and then he hit a big three in the second half that was in rhythm. I thought that was a huge night for him and a big night for the team because they need him to be the guy that he's shown he can be.
He is Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com, covering the Tennessee basketball team. And Grant, it seems to me there are a lot of people in college basketball, not just a media who's covering, and obviously the pollsters have Tennessee number one, but opposing coaches seem to have a lot of respect for the way that Tennessee is playing. Have you noticed that? Is that what you're seeing as well?
Oh, yeah, and I think it's because of the way they do things. They're pretty efficient with the basketball offensively. They make a lot of good passes. They're a team that shares the basketball. They're one of the best assist teams in the country. They obviously scored at a high clip, and they play a pretty good brand of defense when they're locked in on the defensive end. I think people have respect for Rick Barnes, obviously, because he's been around. He's done it for so long. He's done it at such a high level for so long. And I think especially teams in the SEC, opposing coaches, they remember these kids. On this roster, Admiral Schofield, Kyle Alexander, Lamonte, Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, they remember all these guys from a couple of years ago when a lot of teams in this league were beating up on them. And here they are as juniors and seniors, and they really have this program doing some unprecedented stuff. And, you know, they could go to Texas A&M and set a new program record with a 16th straight win. They're number two, or they're number one in the polls for a second straight week. They've never done that. So, I think that's the respect level for Rick Barnes and kind of seeing firsthand what program he's built here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And when we talk about development, obviously Grant Williams has made great improvement over the last couple of years, and now there's a lot of NBA draft talk with Grant and a potential decision for him. As best you can tell right now, where do things stand with him? What might that thought process be like at the end of the season for Grant Williams?
It's actually funny you asked that. Wes Rucker caught up with Grant after the game in South Carolina and wrote a story at GoVols247.com and basically said, kind of, you know, do you let your mind go that far down the road at this point? And basically the answer was no, but he did have some interesting responses saying that he loves this team, obviously. He loves this program, obviously, because he's been the guy that's one of the guys that's helped build it basically from the ground floor up to what it is now. And he said, in no uncertain words, the NBA is not going away. The NBA is going to be there whether he enters this summer, next summer, whatever. And he's on track to graduate in May. He's obviously a good student. He's a well-rounded kid. So he's going to have his options in front of him. But it's going to be a really interesting decision because the way he keeps playing, there's really no kind of bad days at the office. He didn't play well at Missouri. That was like a month ago. That's really been the only game where he just didn't play well. It's like he's going to get his every night. He's going to score 18 to 20. He's going to do his thing. It's just a matter of he's going to test the waters, I'm sure, just like Admiral did last summer. It's a matter of what kind of feedback he gets and kind of what he wants to do, what his goals are from there. And I would assume it goes a long way. We'll determine what they do in March, how this team finishes. If it feels like there's unfinished business, maybe he comes back. If they do a lot of good things, maybe he can leave on a better note. But it's going to be a really interesting decision because there's going to be a lot of factors going into it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Last thing, Grant, Tennessee getting ready for Texas A&M. According to Rick Barnes, if you'd ask him or coaches on the staff, what do they want to see next from this team? And then what's the best update you can tell based on what Rick Barnes has said about Jordan Bowden and his status?
It was pretty uncertain when we talked with him Thursday afternoon. After the game at South Carolina, he basically said he'll be ready for A&M. I'm certain of that. I think that was his quote, "I'm certain of that." And today it seemed a little bit more uncertain. He said, "We'll know more tomorrow. They're still working on his knee. We didn't really know about it until the last minute because Bowden's not a guy that's going to complain a lot, and he's a guy that's hard to keep off the floor." Based on what A&M's doing this season, they're not a good basketball team. 8-10, I think, overall. I think they're 1-5 or 1-6 in the SEC. So I wouldn't rush him back. We'll see what happens Saturday at Texas A&M. They're kind of a hard team to figure out. They beat Kansas State at home a week ago in the Big 12 Challenge. Kansas State was playing good basketball all the time, and they gave LSU a lot of trouble Wednesday night in College Station until LSU pulled away. So Tennessee's had success there. Went there a couple years ago and opened up the conference schedule with a win against a good A&M team back when Tennessee was, you know, picked towards the bottom of the league. So it'll be interesting to see if they can continue to take care of business and if Bowden will be a part of that or not.
Follow Grant's work at govols247.com. Grant, safe travels to College Station as well. You're also kind enough to join us here on your birthday. I would wish you happy birthday, but as Jerry Seinfeld told us one occasion, there is no such thing. So I will just say it is your birthday, office style.
It is your birthday, period.
The sentence comes to an end. Grant, thanks for the time as always. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Josh.
Coming up, I'll let you hear what Rick Barnes said about Jordan Bowden. So you'll hear from Tennessee's head coach on that subject in the next segment. And some pretty severe penalties from the NCAA handed down to an SEC school on Thursday. That's coming up here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And remember, you can send me a question or comment for the show. I'm on Twitter at Josh_Ward, as well as on Facebook, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Thanks for all the interaction recently. I'll get some more mailbag action into the show next week. So hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, email as well works. So however you want to reach me, I'll work them in here to Locked On Vols. So you heard what Grant Ramey was saying a moment ago about Jordan Bowden. I wanted you to hear what Rick Barnes said. This was Thursday, meeting with the media as practice ended up being canceled. Maybe making sure the guys' legs are fresh. This is a tough stretch. Tennessee had 3 games in 6 days from last Wednesday to Saturday and then Tuesday on the road, by the way, at South Carolina. And they do have 3 days in between from Tuesday to Saturday before the Vols play. And it will be an 8 o'clock tip-off time, by the way, 8 o'clock Eastern time when Tennessee takes on Texas A&M on Saturday night. But here's Rick Barnes on Thursday afternoon meeting with the media talking about the status of Jordan Bowden, who missed Tuesday's game because he tweaked his knee earlier in the day. Here's Rick Barnes.
They're still working on him. You know, we'll wait. We'll probably know more tomorrow, but he's, you know, he'll be fine. But how long? I'll be surprised if he's not ready to play, but who knows, you know, because he's a hard one to keep out. And like I said, he didn't even tell anybody that he was even having the pain that he was having until shoot around, and he's the kind of person that would wait till the very end like that. But he's not one that's going to complain early, but during the shoot around, he just felt like he couldn't go.
Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes. So it looks like there's a good chance Jordan Bowden will play on Saturday. It is to be determined officially. But as Rick Barnes said, it doesn't look like any kind of long-term issue. Even if Bowden rests this weekend, I think there would be a good chance that he is ready to go next week. And after Saturday, Tennessee has three home games before that February 16th game at Kentucky. After Saturday, Tennessee will host Missouri next Tuesday, Florida next Saturday, and then South Carolina the following Wednesday before going up to Lexington for what will be a big game against the Kentucky Wildcats. So Tennessee will go for win number 16 in a row on Saturday, and what a win that would be, giving the Vols the longest winning streak in school history. 8 o'clock Eastern time tip in College Station on Saturday night. I mentioned there was an SEC school that received NCAA penalties on Thursday. The NCAA banned Missouri's football, baseball, and softball teams from competing in the postseason this year and placed the athletics department on 3 years probation as a result of academic fraud. The penalties were handed down after a 2-year investigation into alleged academic fraud at Missouri. It's a bit of a confusing story. I recommend you go online and read more about it. The NCAA also fined Missouri $5,000 plus 1% of each of its budgets in football, baseball, and softball. Missouri is going to appeal and said so pretty strongly in a statement. And Barry Odom, the head football coach, put out this statement after the school and its athletic director and chancellor had released a statement. He said, quote, this is Barry Odom, Missouri's head football coach, quote, I wholeheartedly echo the comments stated so well earlier by both Chancellor Cartwright and athletic director Jim Sterk. The committee's decision is completely unjust and unfair to our team, to our staff, and to our alumni. I'm very grateful for the clear, decisive, and unified leadership we have here at Mizzou, and I'm looking forward to doing whatever I can to assist with the appeals process. Together, we will fight for this great institution, and I will damn sure fight for my team. That's the statement from Barry Odom. Pretty strong there. And there continue to be questions about what exactly is the NCAA doing. Again, go online and read more about it. The Athletic's got some stuff up. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I recommend you go read there with Dave Matter and Ben Fredrickson covering Missouri. Andy Staples with Sports Illustrated. There are a number of pieces out there to check out. So good coverage on what I think is a pretty confusing situation, or at least a head-scratching situation again when it comes to the NCAA. But I think this caught a lot of people off guard on Thursday. When this news came out, it broke in the middle of the day. I think a lot of people were surprised to see this kind of penalty for Missouri. And there was the question, would Kelly Bryant, the quarterback who transferred from Clemson to Missouri for his senior year, would he decide to up and leave again because of a postseason ban to Mizzou? There was a report from Rivals with Woody Womack saying that Kelly Bryant is expected to stay. And I would think that makes a lot of sense. He went to Missouri for more than just the chance to go play in what's likely to be an average bowl game. But it will be interesting to see if guys decide to leave Missouri because of the postseason ban. And again, there is the appeal that's pending. And remember, Tennessee goes to Mizzou this year. Mizzou could be a pretty good football team this year with the pieces that they bring back on offense, with Kelly Bryant coming in at quarterback. We'll see how this affects the team. It could galvanize them. It could cause them to be fired up and focus on those 12 games. Who knows? We're a long way out from that, and this news just came down on Thursday afternoon, but it is big news nonetheless. If you have time to rate and review the show, that is a big help to the podcast. 5-star reviews on iTunes always help. Thanks to everybody who has done so. We'll see what happens this weekend with Tennessee football recruiting and with Tennessee's basketball team on the road against Texas A&M, and I'll be back right here on Locked On Vols on Monday to talk about it. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you next week.